And we're going to read the same parable out of two different Gospels, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and Luke chapter 6, verse 47. And so if I haven't confused you too much, would you stand please for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter number 7, Luke chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 7, and if you'll focus in on verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Luke chapter number 6, and verse number 47. And by the way, we'll spend our morning in Luke chapter number 6, and verse number 47. Whosoever cometh to me, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I'm going to preach on this subject, laying a foundation for success. Laying a foundation for success. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please meet with us, be with us, Lord. We want to hear, Lord, from the Word of God. We want to hear from heaven. Lord, I pray that you would please, Lord, feel welcome here. I want you to be active in the service. I want you to help this poor preacher, Lord. I want you to give me strength, clarity of thought. Help me to say what ought to be said. Help me to not say what ought not to be said. And I pray, Lord, you'd help each listener, Lord, that you'd be active in their lives and their hearts during the preaching of God's Word. We want to leave here today saying it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Lord, the only way that can happen is if something divine and supernatural happens in our heart. So I pray whatever our need is, Lord, that please you would help to meet that this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. Laying a foundation for success. We're going to preach on this subject, laying a foundation for success. I told our Sunday school class that we took a trip the last 2 days up to Iowa, and unexpectedly on Thursday and Friday, because of Cheryl's aunt's passing, we found ourselves heading to Iowa, across Illinois, and then just into Iowa, the southeast corner, and then back again on Friday, and we drove both ways through some pretty horrendous storms. We got to see some amazing damage as it took place. I mentioned to Brother Abel, prayed for you. I didn't know where you were, but after I saw them semi-trucks that had literally been blown over with straight-line winds and was laying in the middle of the highway, I sure said a prayer for him, Brother Randy Garcia, and other of our truck drivers that's here in the church. You know, folks, storms are going to come. Storms are going to come. It's amazing how quickly in Indiana things can change. The sun's shining, you're out doing yard work, everything's good. All of a sudden, you happen to glance up out to the west, and, well, all of a sudden, it looks like midnight's coming, and it's coming quickly. The storms are going to come. We saw trees that were torn down. We saw houses and buildings that were damaged. And let me say this, folks, a tree that's going to withstand a storm better have a good root system, because that is that tree's foundation. You see, it's not the strength of the limbs of the trunk that's going to keep that tree from being uprooted. It's going to be how deep its roots go. And those houses that were battered by the wind, let me tell you this. What you saw of that house and what you see of that house is not the reason that it survives or doesn't survive. You see, in this parable, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to lay a foundation for success. He illustrates this great truth by telling a brief story of two men who set out to build a house. And we're going to direct our attention to Luke chapter 6. Let me review these two men with you. Verse 48. The Bible says, "He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." And folks, he dug down. He had to do some digging, like Brother Pastor Ross taught us last Sunday night. He had to remove some things so he could get down to the rock, the solid foundation. And then he literally, folks, as we do when we construct, he literally tied his house to that rock. He connected his house to that rock. And if you do that properly, you do that correctly, it's hard to see and know and understand where the foundation ends and the house begins. But he built his house upon this rock. And because of that, the winds, they may have shook and tried to shake the house and try to destroy the house. But you know what? In order to destroy the house, it would have had to destroy the rock, and it could not destroy the rock, and therefore it did not destroy the house. Then that is contrasted in verse 49 by a man that without, and this is important, without a foundation. What a statement right there. Like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. You know why? Because the currents and the streams and the floods and the winds can undercut a house that is not on a solid foundation. And a person lives in peril who decides he's going to just go out here in the woods and clear some trees and decide he's going to build a house right on the ground. Let me say that house will not last and will not last the test of time. Pretty soon a wind's going to come, a rain's going to come, a flood's going to come, and that house will crumble. Now listen to me very carefully. It seems like we're in a society that's enamored with the idea of success. But we also are in a society that has a wrong, unbiblical definition of success. The secret to a successful life, the secret to a successful building, is not what you see when you look at that building. It's what you do not see. The foundation you lay, the foundation you choose, will determine the longevity and structural soundness of the building. I can't tell you how many people in the community and even here at the church has been complimenting and talking and are excited about the building that's going up out here. You know, what we're doing now is we're putting the finishing touches on the exterior. You know, just dress that building up so much to have those shingles put on there, those architectural shingles. Didn't that give it a nice look? And we're getting ready to put siding on. We've got siding about three-quarters of the way around there, and we're going to go up on the sides on that. And many of the men yesterday were staining some of that, and it's going to be stained the same color as this building, and hopefully the two will tie together and it'll look nice. And I want the building to look nice, but folks, listen, the stain is not going to be what keeps that building from toppling when there's a storm. And I'm glad for the shingles, and I think it's going to help keep people dry inside, but whether it topples or not isn't going to be dependent on whether we used architectural shingles or three-in-one tabs. And what the color of the trim is as it contrasts with the color of the siding, I'm all for that. I'm glad, you know, let's purdy it up. You know, you gotta talk Greene County talk every once in a while. Let's purdy it up. Amen. Let's do that. We want it to look nice. Because I think in looking nice, it's a good testimony. But folks, that's not what's going to determine whether or not it withstands the storm. You see, what you see of that building is not really what is the strength of that building. Many of you were here. Many of you men showed up the day that we poured the foundation. You were here, some of you, when we dug down and dug the footers. And boy, that was an amazing thing. Bring that big cement pump truck in and start at 8:15 in the morning, 70 by 140 foot slab. By 2 o'clock that afternoon, I was walking around on top of that slab. That was something else. You know what? You can't see it now. It's all under the ground. It's out of sight. What you can see on the top of the slab will soon be covered up with ceramic tile and carpeting. But the honest truth is, folks, you can purdy a life up. You can dress it up on the outside, but that's not going to help it when the storms come. What's going to help it is whether or not it has the right kind of foundation. Foundation, you see. Now, I want every single person in here to be a success at whatever God's called you to do. You see, a wise man, the Bible teaches us here in this parable that a wise man takes the time to lay the right foundation. That's contrasted by the foolish man. A foolish man takes shortcuts. A foolish man decides to save time, money, and labor now, but in the end it'll cost him all that he has built. A foolish man worries about more about what people will see than what they will never see. Young people, let me say this. We're in a society where the outside flash is important and the exterior seems to be so much. The honest truth is, what's going to be important when you face the trials of life, it's not what kind of clothes you have or what kind of car you drive, but it's whether or not you've built your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it doesn't matter, girls, how fancy your hair is, and I'm all for it. Fixing yourself up, but you know what? The glamour and glitter of jewelry is not going to take you through the tough times when one of your kids come down sick and you need a miracle from heaven. You need a touch from God. It's not going to help you through the times where the Satan comes and tests your marriage. There's got to be something stronger than that in your life. We live in a society where I call the common average person a master of the facade. If we're not careful, we spend so much time polishing the exterior, but we don't have what's really important on the inside. Now, how do you lay, Brother Jerry, a foundation for success? What's really important? What needs to be foundational? What's going to help us through the tough times? What is the difference between building a life on a rock and building a life on sand? And I kind of skipped over the most important, I think, of the three verses that we read in Luke chapter number 7, because in verse 47, if you'll look there, we have a very simple formula for laying a foundation for success in our lives. Jesus said these words in verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." And so all of the illustration that follows is just illustrating what he has said in verse 47. Here's the formula. Well, I like simple things. Do you? This helps me. Here's what Jesus said. Do you want to lay a foundation for success? Do you want to survive the storms? Do you want to make it long term? Number one, he said, come to me. Number two, hear my sayings. Number three, do them. Here's a very simple formula for every single human being that wants a successful life. Let me break it down to you and make it simple. Number one, come to Jesus. Number two, hear what Jesus says. Number three, obey what you hear. Now, folks, I know that that's not as exciting as I wish it was, but I promise you it works. Number one, come to Jesus. Number two, hear what Jesus says. Number three, be willing to obey what you hear. I'm going to give it to you again. Number one, come to Jesus. Number two, hear what he says. Number three, obey what you hear. Now, if every young person, well, I wish I could get into your hearts and get you to understand something. If every young couple, every young person would just say, you know what? I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm going to hear what he says, and I'm going to obey what I hear. I promise you, you will have dug down deep and found a rock upon which you can build your life. Build your life. Let's talk about each of these just for a minute this morning. Number one, come to Jesus. Are you saved? Can I ask you that question? Are you saved? Brother Jerry, you seem to be stuck on this thing. Yep, I hope to stay stuck my whole ministry on this. I love you. You say you don't know me. I love you. How's that possible? Because God puts his love in my heart for you. It's hard for a Christian to explain how they can love somebody that they don't know. But I watch people all through this community, and my heart goes out to them, and I can't help but think in my heart, are they saved? Are they saved? Have they ever come to Jesus? You say, Brother Jerry, why should I come to Jesus? Because he's your only hope of heaven. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's why you got to come to Jesus. Well, these young ladies, I don't mean to embarrass you, but she had heard some things, and she was asking me good questions right before the service. She said, Brother Jerry, have you ever heard of something called the seven gates to heaven? Is there seven keys to heaven? And she really wanted to know this, had gotten some information. And I said, I think that's probably something a man came up with. I will tell you this, there's only one door to heaven. I don't know how many gates there are, but I can tell you, I know there's only one door to heaven.
And Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door, he said. And you know what? I don't know all about how many keys are in heaven, but I know this. The key to get into heaven is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How about Acts 4:11? Why do I need to come to Jesus? Why should I come to Jesus? The Bible says this. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I hope when I get to the end of my ministry and I'm long gone and somebody comes to this church who never heard me preach, that they were to stop a church member and say, well, what was Pastor Jerry like? What was his preaching style? What did he like to preach about? I would hope that one of you would all just say, you know, he was a pretty good preacher, but he just got stuck on one theme his whole ministry, and that one theme was Jesus Christ. And I would consider that the greatest compliment anybody could pay me. You see, folks, whether you are lost or saved, every answer is found in Jesus Christ. We need to come to Jesus. We need to come to Jesus. You say, why should I come to him? Because he's your only hope of heaven. Why should I come to Jesus? Because he is the rock that's talked about in this passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, he's either a rock you can build your life upon, but if you reject him, he becomes a rock that you stumble over. 1 Peter 2:3, I love this. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, and unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Number one, let me just tell you this. If you want a successful life, come to Jesus. Oh, brother dear, I know people that are successful and they don't even believe in Jesus. That's because you've got a wrong definition of success. Yeah, but I watch them. I know you see the facade. You see the exterior. You see the glitter. You see the stain. You see the stained glass windows. You see the pretty paint and the pretty siding. But folks, you don't see them when the storms come. You see the swimming pools and the new cars in the driveway and the three-car garage. But you don't see them when the storms come. And the storms come to everybody's life. And so number one, let me encourage you to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Number two, let me challenge you to do this. Boy, this is important. Once you've come to Jesus, once you've accepted him as your Savior, number two, hear what Jesus says. Hear what Jesus says. This is so important. I think that we as Christians need to be reminded of this. Amen? So many times we've come to Christ, but we don't hear what he says. You would say, well, where's he at so I can go listen to him? Well, I'll tell you where you can find him. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, and interesting in John, when John talked about Jesus Christ, he called him the capital W-O-R-D, the Word, the Logos. Let me read you out of Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and him that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written which no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So, Brother Jerry, where do I go listen to Jesus? How can I see what he says? Well, I got good news for you. He left you a book. Amen. And Jesus and the Word of God is so completely and fully attached, you can't separate one from the other. And when John wanted to address Jesus Christ and talk about Jesus Christ, he called him the Word. When he comes back one of these days to rule and reign on this earth, he's going to be riding a white horse, and across his chest will be written, the Word of God. You can't separate Christ from this book. You can't separate Christ from this book, you see. You want to hear what Jesus says? Read your Bible. You want to hear what Jesus says? Come hear Bible preaching. You want to find out what Christ is all about? Open the King James Bible and start reading it. Amen. Let me help all of you here. And I know we have some folks that are brand new Christians and some that have been here a while. But let me just, I wish I could get you to trust me on this one thing, even if you don't totally understand why yet. I wish I'd get you to trust me on this one thing. You know, a lot of times people come to church and they have a different version of the Bible than the King James Bible. And you know what? That usually tells me somebody loved them, somebody cared about them, because a lot of times a Bible is a gift from somebody who loved and cared much about you. And you know what? If they didn't care about you, they wouldn't have given you such a wonderful gift. But I want you to trust me on something. You know what? Go out and buy you a King James Bible. And start bringing a King James Bible to church. Now, without me going into it deeply, let me just share this with you, folks. Many, 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 many of the translations are filled with inaccuracies. Many of them have left out much of the words of God. Many of them have changed important things. And I believe with all my heart that the King James Bible is the preserved words of God. And you know what? If you'll just read them and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart about them, I think there's a dangerous thing going on. I was talking to a guy that's not a Baptist this past week. And he's got, I don't know how many different translations in his office. And he tells me, if I am reading the King James and I come upon a difficult passage, he said, I'll just keep pulling off translations and reading all the different translations till one of them makes sense to me. And I thought to myself, now wait a minute. And I had to challenge him on this. I said, brother, let me tell you what I think is happening. I don't know your heart, and if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But this is what happens to too many people. If they read the King James Bible and they don't like what it says, they just keep pulling off different translations till they get somebody to reword it in a more pleasant way, or to change it enough where they can make peace with it. And we're not to change the Bible to meet and match us. We're to change ourselves to line up with the Bible. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Jesus says, when you come, hear what I say. He didn't say, come and change what I say. He said, hear what I say. Listen to what God says in the Bible. Now listen to Jesus Christ, you see. Jesus is the Word. You see, a man who listens to the Bible is listening to Christ. I've often said this and quoted Gail Russ on this, but he said one time, if you took Jesus Christ and turned him into a book, you'd have the King James Bible. If you took the King James Bible and turned it into a person, you'd have Jesus Christ. You cannot separate the two, you see. Now, let me encourage you to do something. Folks, listen to me. If you are going to come and you're going to get serious about living the Christian life, I'm talking about not just be a believer, but you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you have to do what this man did in verse number 48. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep. I wish you'd underline that little phrase, and dig deep. And dig deep. Now listen, if you want to know how to please Jesus Christ, if you want a successful life, you need to dig deep into the Scriptures. Listen, we've got way too many folks that just have a very shallow knowledge of the Word of God. And they're trying to build a successful life on a shallow knowledge of the Bible. And we need to listen, that's why you ought to come to a Bible preaching church. You ought to come to a church that gets down to the nitty gritty, that goes in and does verse by verse expository type teaching and preaching Sunday school Wednesday nights. I mean, let's open our Bible. Let's take it a verse at a time, a phrase at a time. Let's get down to what it says. Get down to what it says. And so let me encourage you, dig deep. Let me encourage you tomorrow morning before you start the day and go anywhere, dig deep. Let me encourage you Tuesday morning to get the Bible out before you start the day and dig deep. And Wednesday morning, then come back Wednesday night and listen to the preaching. We'll do some deep digging here. We'll bring in a backhoe. We'll do some deep digging in here. And you just keep doing that, and you stay around a church that's based on the Bible and it preaches the Bible and stands on the Bible. And you know what? You're going to get down to a pretty solid place in your life. You're going to get to a pretty solid place to start building some things in your life. Hear what Jesus says. Hear what he says. Man who listens to the Bible is listening to Christ. Listen, be willing to dig deep. So number one, come to Jesus. Number two, would you just hear what he says? Don't change it. Don't try to erase it. Don't try to talk yourself. Just hear what he says. And then what's the third thing? Obey what you hear. Obey what you hear. Verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like, and doeth them. Now look right up here, because I want to show you something. I'm going to show you something. I'm trying not to tear up the microphone while I'm doing it. Nathan, is he gone? Isaac, would you help me? Would you go right outside that door? There's three chairs. I want to show you something here, because this is very, very important. In Matthew chapter number 7, when we read that, the Bible talked about a wise man and a foolish man. And a wise man hears the sayings of Jesus Christ and does them. A foolish man, if you'll notice, what the scripture says here is the foolish man also hears. Notice verse 49. You just said them right there. That'd be great. Notice verse 49, and let's look at the first two phrases, verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not. And that's very important. It doesn't say that one man that built on a rock heard what Jesus said and did it, and the other man never heard what Jesus said. Did it say that? It doesn't say one was there listening to Christ and the other one was way over somewhere else and didn't even know. He said, listen, a wise man hears and does, and a foolish man hears but does not do it. And I want to share this with you. Let me turn my microphone on here. I want to share this with you, because what you're about to see will do more, I think, to determine where you end up and what kind of a house you have and what kind of a foundation you lay than any other thing in your life. And parents, I plead with you to let me have your ear, to let me have your heart. You know, right now we're laying the foundation of our children's lives, and it's very, very important that we help them to lay the right kind of foundation. In the book of Proverbs, there's three main people that are talked about in the book of Proverbs. If you study these things out, you'll find that everything I'm going to tell you is absolutely right on true. There is, in the book of Proverbs, what the Bible calls the simple man. The simple man. And, you know, I'm going to explain what each of these are, but every one of these three men are called what they're called according to their relationship to the Word of God. So number one, we have the simple man. Number two, we have the wise man. And the book of Proverbs talks a lot about the wise man. And Jesus, in this portion of Scripture, talks about the wise man and the foolish man. He doesn't, in this parable, talk about the simple man. I'm going to tell you why that's true. And then, in the book of Proverbs, you'll hear a lot about the foolish man or the fool. Now, every single one of us sat in one of these three seats. Let me explain what these are. The simple man in the book of Proverbs is the man who simply has never heard what Jesus has said. Can I have your attention, have your heart for a minute? I'm scared for our country, because we have now many generations deep of non-churchgoers. There's an entire generation that are being raised, for the most part, outside of the house of God. They don't go to church. They don't know the Bible stories. They don't know Bible principles. They don't know the truths of Christ. There's no venue in their life, nothing that they participate on or in, where the Word of God is open and the Bible is taught. Nothing. Nowhere. They don't have it. We have an entire generation. Are you looking up here? We have an entire generation that, for the most part, they don't know what God says. They don't know what's in the Bible. Daniel who? Samson who? Jonah, he what? They don't know the Bible. I mean, if you walked in many, many schools and you held out a $50 bill and said, I'll give it to somebody that give me 5 of the 10 commandments, you'll probably walk out with that $50 bill back in your pocket. We have a generation of simple people. And by the way, let me say this. A person that does not taught the Bible, you know what their chances for success are in life?
Brother Jerry, why did the good people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, take their hard-earned money and week after week put it in a plate so that we can put gas? Folks, listen, I'm going to tell you something you may not know, but these buses do not get 40 miles a gallon. And I'm not exaggerating when I say we spend hundreds of dollars every weekend sending four buses and two vans to pick up every single child at every home where a parent will at least get them up and push them out the door, even if it is a glorified babysitting service for them. Why do you do it? Because these young people at some point in their life have to sit somewhere and have the scriptures open to them so they have a chance to become wise, so they can have a chance to learn how to build, so they can have a chance to find the rock and the foundation, so when the storms come later on, their lives won't be wrecked. Somebody's got to reach them. And so we work very hard at that. But you know what? We're just taking a drop of the bucket compared to the ones that this morning are not in church. Tonight will not be in church. Wednesday night will not be in church. If there's a Bible in the house, it's never opened, it's never read, it's never considered, it's never contemplated. This, I'm afraid, is a picture of America. We're becoming a godless society. I'm talking about the true God, a godless society. We have our gods, but we're becoming a godless society. Now watch this, because that doesn't apply to anybody that's here, because you know what? You're here. But you know what? Just because somebody comes to church does not mean that they become wise. Just because they sat in Sunday school for 18 years does not mean they become wise. Just because they sat in preaching service for 30 years of their life does not mean they become wise. You see, Jesus said, come to me, hear what I say, and then here's the key to wisdom. Do it. And the foolish man heard what Jesus said, but you know what? He didn't want to do it. He heard what the Bible taught, but he didn't want to do it. He heard the Ten Commandments, but he didn't want to obey them. He heard what the Bible teaches about finances, but he didn't want to do that. He heard what the Bible taught about family, but he didn't want to do that. He heard what the Bible taught about right and wrong, but he had his own ideas. And you know what? I just don't want to follow that. That's too narrow. That's too straight. That's too strict. So he doesn't dig down and find a rock. Instead, he says, you know what? I'm just going to go build it the way that I think it ought to be built. He hears. He knows. He has the information. He rejects it. And that's why I'm talking right now to all you young people in here. I'm talking about those of you that, I don't care if you came today on a bus or you came in a vehicle or you walked here or you parachuted in. I want you to listen to your preacher. You can sit in this church week after week, month after month, year after year. But if you don't not only listen, but if you don't start applying the things that's taught here, you are not digging down to where the rock is, and the storms are going to come. And you know what? The house is going to fall. And I don't want that for anybody's life. I don't want that for anybody's life. Let me read you a couple things, all right? Listen up here. Boy, you need to come to Jesus. You need to hear what he says. Let me read this illustration to you. In the quadrilateral of Leland Stanford University near San Francisco, there stood a magnificent memorial arch, built so largely, solidly, and splendidly it seemed it would stand forever. But when the earthquake came, as they will in San Francisco, when the earthquake came, it collapsed in ruin. Upon further investigation, its foundation was disclosed. The builder, in an order to save just a little bit of money, went 3 feet less than he should have on depth. And when the earthquake came, it crumbled. Brother Jerry, I hear what you preach around here, but I don't want to go that far. Listen, you dig till you hit rock. But I'm tired, keep digging. But it's hard, keep digging. Well, I don't see the purpose of it now. No, you won't see it right now, but just keep digging till you hit rock. And when you hit rock, then start building a life on that rock. But listen, dig till you hit rock. Dig till you hit rock. How many of you ever heard of the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Anybody ever seen it? I'm curious. No? We'll have to plan a field trip. The construction on the tower was started in 1173 BC. Wow.
He stopped work in 1185 when the tower was only 3 1/2 floors high. 90 years later, a second architect added 3 1/2 circular tiers. The tower was leaning when he started. He should have torn it down and started with the foundation. Instead, he tried to fix the lean by straightening the upper tiers to make up for the tower slant. I think a lot of Christians try to do that. You know, folks, sometimes we just think, well, we've gone this far, we just got to keep building. No. It's better to bulldoze, dig down, fix the foundation, and start coming up again. I mean that with all my heart. Oh, but Brother Jerry, you know, let me tell you something, folks. You can't build on something that's already leaning. If you didn't get a good foundation under it, you got to start over. I'm going to tell on Carlos Demers. He's up in heaven. He'll laugh. I went down to El Paso, Texas, and Carlos Demers, he built every building down at El Paso, Texas, on the Bearing Precious Seed complex there. And how many of you got to meet Carlos Demers, know him? Wasn't he something else? Guy was, I mean, he was so full of energy, he'd make coffee nervous. He had a heart for the Mexican people, and I'm going to tell you something, he was a go-getter. And when Brother Keene originally gave him that piece of property, he said, Brother Demers, go down there and build a Bearing Precious Seed and a warehouse down here and a complex so that we can have a direct shipping line into Mexico to get the scriptures into Mexico. He got so excited, the first building he built. He just went out in the middle of the property that he was given, and he just formed up a slab and poured it and didn't dig any footers underneath it, and didn't put any footers underneath it whatsoever.
Built the building. Within a year, the foundation, the slab was all cracked, and the building was getting ready to crumble. And you know what they had to do? They had to tear it down, bulldoze it all up, dig down, and build a new building. Guess what? That building that I'm talking about, I walked through it. I seen it. It's still there. That's been 40 years ago. It's still there. You know, folks, listen to me. If you're 20-something and everything's crumbling around you, why do you keep building on top of it? I mean, listen, why do we go on in our stubborn pride instead of just saying, Jesus, you know what? I kind of blew this, didn't I? Yes, you did, son. This isn't working out so well. No, it's not. Lord, would you give me another chance? I'll be glad to give you another chance. Let's tear this mess down and let's start digging until you hit some rock and let's build over again. I don't mean this wrong, and I guess it's because of my age, but I remember sitting in my office one day and a 15-year-old kid was in there and he was pouring his art out and this kid had blown it. I mean, honestly, he'd done some things. He'd just really blown it in some areas. And he's boo-hooing in there and confessing and just brokenhearted over this mess of his life. And he looked up at me and he said, I've run my whole life. I'm sitting there thinking, man, I wish I was 15 again. What do you mean you run your whole life? You didn't run your whole life. 15 years old. God gives you grace and longevity of life and a regular length of life of an average human being. You understand you got 55 years ahead of you, son? What do you mean? No, let's clear this mess out. Let's bulldoze it out of the way. Let's dig down and find a rock, and let's let the next 45 years be much better than the first 15. Are you listening to me? Brother Jerry, I'm in my 20s, and I've made a mess of things. God loves to come along and redo projects. Well, Brother Jerry, I'm halfway through my life. It's not too late to start over. Listen, if you keep building on a faulty foundation, you're going to have the same affect the same results over. I mean, one of these days you're going to say, all right, God, I think you gave me a plan for success here in the Bible. I'm just going to follow that plan for success. You see, they just kept building, though. They just kept building on top of a faulty foundation. 80 years passed before a third architect put a domed 8 floor on the tower. Still, it leaned. You know, so let's purdy it up. One guy comes along and says, it's crooked. I'll tell you what, I'll just build higher and I'll try to straighten it up a little. Another person says, well, it's crooked, but maybe if we put a pretty dome on the top and an 8th floor, it'll look prettier. Well, it may look a little prettier, but it's still leaning. You know what that says here? And I don't know about all of this stuff, but it says, scientists say that the foundations must be rebuilt. Do you hear that? Scientists say that the foundation must be rebuilt.
with the 14,500 ton tower held in place by some means. Unless this is done, they say, the 800 year old tower will inevitably fall. It is currently leaning 17 feet. 17 feet.
Eight-floor tower, it's leaning 17 feet. Now, somebody's going to have to do something unpleasant one of these days. They're either going to have to stand there and watch that beautiful thing destroyed, or they're going to have to say, you know what, we're going to have to disassemble it, and we're going to have to dig down, and we're going to have to pour the right kind of foundation, and we're going to put it right back up. And folks, can I just tell you in a very simple way, can I just put this in a simple package for you to take home? Jesus Christ is in the rebuilding business. Oh, Brother Jerry, our life's some... No, he's in the rebuilding business. He can come along and he can say, how you doing? Not too good. Need some help? Said I came to earth, and before I became a preacher, I was a carpenter. I know a little bit about building. You want some help? And the wise person just says, yeah, Jesus, it's time to come to you. You know what? I need to just quiet this thing for a while and listen with these. Then I need to take what I learned from you, and I need to go in and I need to start actually doing what I've been taught. Doing what I've been taught. And folks, very simple. But if you follow that, that's a good formula for a successful life. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless us. Help us, Lord, speak to our hearts. May the Word of God become important and powerful in our lives. May we understand and realize, Lord, that you give us this book for a reason. These are the very words of Christ, Lord. The Bible is the Word of God. It's inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The Bible says it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would allow the Word of God to do in our lives what it's meant to do. Help us to come to Christ. Help us, Lord, if we're not saved, to be someone that's not saved, to help them to receive you this morning as your Savior. Lord, if they are saved, somebody's saved, and they say, Brother Jerry, I'm a believer. I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm saved. But the honest truth is, I haven't been listening to Christ as I ought to listen to him. I pray, Lord, that there may be someone here to make that decision. Someone may say, Brother Jerry, I'm here and I listen. I just have a little bit of trouble sometimes putting it into practice. Oh, God, please help all of us in that area. Help us, Lord, not to be hearers only, but to be doers, lest we deceive ourselves. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us to fall in love with the Bible, to be helped by it. Lord, thank you that these folks today have come to hear the Word of God preached.